RadioStPete.com presents Senator Bob Dole Day from Thousand Island Park, New York, on Wellesley Island, upstate New York, on the Canadian border. Senator Bob Dole will be 96 on Monday.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for attending today. I'd just like to go over some of the introductions, give you some background on how this came to be. I'm certain that all of you, like myself, were very impressed at President Bush's funeral when Senator Robert Dole rose from a wheelchair to salute his former commander-in-chief. Very dramatic. Well, I live in New Orleans, and the next day in the Times-Picayune, they listed that, and I knew that he had been injured in World War II in Italy. I knew he'd lost use of his right arm. That's why I always carried a pen, so somebody wouldn't try to shake his hand. And he had lost a kidney. What I did not know was that he was a member of the 10th Mountain Division. Well, we had already invited the 10th Mountain Division band to appear here, so I thought, what better way than to honor someone of Senator Dole's stature than a Bob Dole Day? And so that's how it's come about. Today is about service. That's what Bob Dole was about. That's what many of you in our community, it's about giving back and putting back. An example of that today is our flag bearer, Quinn Groupie, who I think most of you know. He's a third generation Thousand Island Park resident and recently awarded Eagle Scout, which only 4% of all scouts achieve. So I'd like to ask Quinny to come up here so we can have the pledge. It'll be followed by another Thousand Island Park resident, Alexandra Kasouf, who will lead us in the national anthem. Please stand and remove your hats. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, Quinny. Okay, I'd like to introduce some individuals to you that are going to have a few things to say to you today. The first representing the governor of New York is Brigadier General Joseph Beeler. Next, a local state representative, Mark Walczak. Our Jefferson County local representative, Phil Reed. Mary Planchon, who is here on behalf of Congressman Elise Stefanik. Sari Campo is here on behalf of New York State Senator Pat Ritchie. Maggie Bristol, who's here representing the Elizabeth Dole Foundation, which is an interesting story in and of itself. I guess when your hair turns this color, everything's anecdotal. But I called Jeff Nelson in Watertown about some coverage, and he said, do you know Elizabeth Dole has a Veterans Foundation? I was unaware, and that's how we got involved. She has some literature over here. I think you'd like to know about it. And the keynote speaker today will be Joseph Scanlon, who's the museum director of the 10th Mountain Division at Fort Drum. I'd like to invite first Brigadier General Joseph Beeler, if he'd just like to say hello to you. Everyone's going to be very short.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone. I'm Brigadier General Joe Beeler. I'm the Deputy Commander of the 42nd Infantry Division, which is part of the New York Army National Guard. And this is really wonderful that we're honoring Bob Dole, former Senator Bob Dole, who was a combat infantryman and fought in World War II. So that's wonderful. And we're happy to be here. I brought a few of my guys here. So thanks for this honor.
Thank you. Then State Representative Mark Walczak.
I had 15 minutes prepared, so I'm trying quickly in my head. So thank you, sir, for being so brief, because I didn't have that much time to reformat the entire 15 minutes. But it's hot, and I've got new instructions. I'll save you reading the official citation that we've got honoring Senator Bob Dole. But I think there is something that's really unique that I wanted to point out. And he was a member of the 10th Mountain Division. This is not a New York guy, but he was a member of the 10th Mountain Division, so this is a home for him because this is the home of the 10th Mountain Division. And if you know the 10th Mountain Division well, you know that their motto is Climb to Glory. And the motto of New York State is Excelsior, which means ever upward. And I think his career and his service to this nation is exemplified in exactly those two ways. A guy who ran into machine gun fire in Italy, defending freedom across the world, and then defended our democracy through good policymaking here in America. He was a guy who was always climbing to glory, all the way to the top, ever upward, and excelsior. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today, and happy Senator Bob Dole Day.
And I'd like to invite Phil Reed.
Thank you. Phil Reed from Fisher's Landing right over there. It's been my privilege to represent this area for the last 18 years. It's a very special place for all of us. And I hope everybody enjoys the summer. I will read the proclamation because the County Board of Legislators declared this day Bob Dole Day, Robert Dole Day. So whereas Robert J. Dole joined the Army Enlisted Reserve Corps in 1942 and was called to active duty in 1943, deploying as an infantry lieutenant with the 10th Mountain Division to Italy, where he was seriously injured in battle. And whereas he was awarded two Purple Hearts and a Bronze Star with Valor for bravery and dedication to his comrades, and retired from the Army as a captain. And whereas he served in the U.S. House and Senate from 1961 to 1996, and whereas he received the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 1997, the Congressional Gold Medal in 2018, and has received honorary promotion in 2019 to the rank of Colonel in recognition of his service to the U.S. military. And whereas he served as the chairman of the National World War II Memorial Fundraising Campaign, and was honored in 2011 with a plaque dedication at the memorial in Washington, and most Saturdays can be found at its entrance greeting Honor Flight and other veterans and their family. And whereas he exemplifies the highest civic values through his military duty, public service, advocacy, and on issues including agriculture, health, hunger, and nutrition, and leadership on behalf of the disabled and of veterans. Now, therefore, I, Scott Gray, Chairman of the Board of Legislators of the County of Jefferson, State of New York, in recognition of his 96th birthday, do hereby proclaim July 20th as Robert J. Dole Day in Jefferson County and encourage all citizens to participate in the events planned to commemorate the significant day. I don't usually read these, but this was very well written, and it tells the story, I feel, very accurately, and we can all be proud that Senator Dole was a member of the 10th Mountain. So I'm going to give this to Mike, and thank you all for coming.
And now Mary Blanchon with Elise Stefanik, U.S. Congressman, Representative Congresswoman.
Congresswoman. So on behalf of the Congresswoman, I do have this congressional record to present. She does send her best wishes. She regrets that she couldn't be here today. But we do have this congressional record.
And representing State Senator Patty Ritchie, Sarah Campo.
Good afternoon, everybody. Unfortunately, Senator Ritchie could not be here, but she did send me with a letter to read on her behalf. Dear friends, I regret that I cannot join you for today's celebration of Senator Bob Dole. I would, however, like to thank you for the invitation and wish you the best for a successful event. Senator Dole is the definition of a patriot and a public servant. Our country is truly lucky to have benefited from his service, not only in the military, but also as a leader in the political arena. Our region is fortunate to have a unique connection with Senator Dole, who, as most here knew, served as a member of the 10th Mountain Division. Today, thousands of troops have followed in his footsteps to serve our country with bravery and selflessness. Please accept this official Senate proclamation as a tribute to Senator Dole and the work that dedicated organizers have done to host today's celebration. Again, thank you for the invitation to attend, and happy Senator Bob Dole Day. Sincerely, Patty Ritchie, State Senator.
And I spoke to you a little, prior about Maggie Bristol, who's with the Elizabeth Dole Foundation. She's going to give you some information with regard to what it does and what it's accomplished. Maggie?
Hi, everyone. Good afternoon. I have absolutely shortened it, so I won't be as short, but I think I'm down to about 3.5 minutes, so we should be good. But good afternoon. My name is Dr. Maggie Bristol, and I am the New York State Fellow for the Elizabeth Dole Foundation's Hidden Heroes Program. I wear many hats at home and in the community. I am a mother, a wife, an educator, a NAMI Syracuse board member, an advisor to the NAMI New York State Veterans Committee, and I'm the caregiver of an amazing 100% disabled combat veteran. One of my many roles that I'm extremely proud of is being your New York State representative for the Elizabeth Dole Foundation's Hidden Heroes Program, which was founded in 2012 after Senator Elizabeth Dole was exposed to the tremendous challenges facing the loved ones caring for our wounded, ill, and injured warriors after her husband, Senator Bob Dole, was admitted to Walter Reed Army Medical Center for an extended period of time in 2011. It was this experience which inspired her to establish the Elizabeth Dole Foundation to help raise awareness and seek solutions of our military caregivers. The mission of the Hidden Heroes program is to bring vital attention to the untold stories of military caregivers and seek solutions for the tremendous challenges and long-term needs that they face. Being a part of this strong, passionate, and courageous community has not only provided me a platform for advocating for caregivers, but for educating and ending the stigma behind mental illness and the invisible wounds that many of our military personnel suffer from. I am only one of 5.5 million military and veteran caregivers across the United States of America today. And many of those caregivers began their journey in isolation and without any support. Well, the Elizabeth Dole Foundation and the Hidden Heroes Program are here to help end that. Isolation, fear, perhaps some anxiety, confusion, the sense of loss, and so many other emotions can be common to caregivers when they experience these things. Hidden Heroes is a way of providing these selfless men and women serving in the shadows with help and recognition that they deserve. As best noted by Senator Elizabeth Dole, our nation has long admired our military men and women who have served our country so valiantly, and we've always reserved a special honor for those who return from service with physical and emotional scars. Our goal now is an America where the caregivers are empowered, appreciated, and recognized for their service. An America where military caregivers are woven into the very fabric of the nation's appreciation of our military. On behalf of the Elizabeth Dole Foundation, the staff, Hidden Heroes fellows all over the United States, military and veteran caregivers, and especially Senators Bob and Elizabeth Dole, we thank you for this great honor bestowed on Senator Bob Dole, and it is greatly appreciated by all. Thank you.
I have two quick letters I'd like to read that I think are very significant, and then we'll turn over to our keynote speaker who can talk to you directly about the history of the 10th Mountaineer Division and Bob Dole. This letter was from John McHugh, who was a former congressman from Jefferson County. And then under Obama, he was Secretary of the Army. Dear friends and members of the 10th Mountaineer Division family, I'm deeply sorry I'm not able to personally attend the Senator Bob Dole ceremony on July 20th. I certainly want to offer my thanks and congratulations to all those who worked so hard to bring this worthy recognition to reality. When it comes to the phrase, great Americans, Bob Dole has long set the standard. The story of his life is a tale of continuous sacrifice, service, and achievement. Indeed, over many decades, Americans of all walks of life have benefited from his efforts. His 36 years of service in Congress produced countless initiatives and programs intended to help our nation and its people to do better. Whether working on a bipartisan basis to improve America's military health care system, advancing the interests of hardworking farmers, reaching out to the disabled, or playing a leading role in the construction of the World War II Memorial, Bob Dole has always been there. On a personal note, during my time as Secretary of the Army, we were struggling to recapture the honor and reputation of one of America's most hallowed pieces of ground, Arlington National Cemetery. In that effort, I thought it important to reach out to a handful of individuals that I knew were widely admired and respected. One of the first calls I placed was to former Senator Bob Dole. I could only imagine the demands already placed on his time, but I called him nevertheless. He immediately took the call, and after a few moments of explanation, he gently cut me off and said, "Sign me up." From his days of service and sacrifice during World War II, as a courageous member of the 10th Mountain Division, to this very day, Bob Dole's model has been "Sign me up." No task too daunting, no time too limited, no deserving individual too insignificant. From the fields of canvas to the halls of our nation's capital, to many missions continuing to this day, Bob Dole's life has been a constant climb to glory. During his many years of service, Senator Dole has been justly recognized by the bestowal of many high and distinguished awards, two Purple Hearts, the Congressional Gold Medal, the World Food Prize, for commitment to easing hunger among the world's poorest children. These are just a few. Yet for all those accolades, knowing a little bit about this man and his humility, I am confident today's ceremony will forever hold a place in his heart. Thank you. God bless Bob Dole. God bless America. John McHugh, former member of Congress and 21st Secretary of the Army. When I first made the call, as I said, after I found, saw the picture, and I called the office, and about 2 weeks went by, and I'd asked if we could have a Senator Bob Dole day. And I called back after 2 weeks, and I said, "Was the senator offended?" And she said, "No, he's 95. He doesn't come in every day." So I was apprehensive about when I would get the letter, and I've been bugging him, and yesterday finally the letter arrived. And I guess it's a lot better that it did arrive on the day before. And this is a letter from Bob Dole. "Dear friends, greetings to everyone gathered in Thousand Island Park for Bob Dole Day. I'm certainly honored that the Thousand Island Park Foundation would remember me in such a special way. I want to say a special thank you to all of the service members and veterans in attendance today. It was my honor to serve in the U.S. Army's 10th Mountain Division during World War II. Service, whether in the military or in your community, teaches a valuable lesson that we all count on one another to make our world a better place. We owe a debt of gratitude to each and every American who has served the United States Armed Forces. These men and women wear our nation's uniform and wear it proudly. My generation is often called the greatest generation, but I believe that term is equally fitting for our current generation of service members. Thank you all for your kindness in honoring me today. My 96th birthday is on Monday, and at my age, I'll take all the honors I can get. God bless America, Bob Dole." And now I'd like to turn over to Joseph Scanlon.
Thanks, everyone, for the kind introduction and the offer to speak on this auspicious day, Bob Dole Day, here in the beautiful Thousand Islands Park and across Jefferson County. A special thanks to all our elected representatives who have joined us to remember not only a former 10th Mountain Division soldier, but a proud example of their field as well. And also a special thanks to General Beeler for taking time out of his busy training schedule to join us and pay his respects. I must admit, it is incredibly humbling to talk on a day honoring an icon like Senator and recently promoted Colonel Robert J. Dole. It is also a great opportunity to highlight how our own neighbors, the great 10th Mountain Division and Senator Dole, share a common history of service to the nation. First, by way of stage setting, I'm a military historian, primarily responsible for connecting the soldiers, civilians, families, and neighbors to the great history of the 10th Mountain Division and Fort Drum. So let me share why I believe military history is important to us all. The study of military history is often seen as a recounting of movements of troops, award citations, and battlefield exploits. It is those things, but it is so much more. It is the military architecture and infrastructure that stretches across the North Country, from Oswego to Plattsburgh and the numerous places in between. It is the economic and societal impacts, both good and bad, that wars and militaries bring. It is those unique twists of fate that place a young man from Flatland, Kansas, in America's only mountain division. Military history, to me, is simply the study of one of the most profound aspects of the human experience, the impact of war and conflict. All veterans and those serving today reflect that most significantly. Their service on behalf of the nation in the crucible of war and conflict help form their character and the world they will inhabit. It is the service of these citizens that I hope to share with you today. Service, as defined by the dictionary, is a fairly broad term. It's defined as the action of helping or doing work for someone. So let's start at the beginning. So what do our servicemen and women serve for? Formally, it all starts with the swearing of the oath. And I'd like to read it to the audience because I believe it is important to understand its words and meaning. The oath goes, I, the soldier would state his name, do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which I am about to enter. So help me God. This is the oath that Bob Dole swore in 1942 at the age of 19. While the oath was fairly short and simple, it represents the greatness of America. The oath is sworn to the nation's foundational document, not to a specific person or organization. Our servicemen support and defend the ideals of our nation. I firmly believe this humble oath and all it holds is the keystone that all military service stems from. But the words and ideals are only part of the equation that makes service members' experience so impactful. So in honoring Senator Dole, I'd like to review where that oath took him. Coming from Russell, Kansas, it is unlikely that young Bob Dole would have seen the elite World War II 10th Mountain Division as his future home. In fact, he wanted to be in the Medical Corps. He reported for his initial military training in June of 1943, almost a full year before the famous beach landings in Normandy. He would eventually complete basic training in Texas, be selected for officer candidate school, and ended up in the Army Specialized Training Program. In true Army fashion, this had little to do with the desires of then Private Dole, and more to do with the infamous saying, needs of the Army. As part of this trip, the young Kansas farm boy was sent to Brooklyn College in the heart of New York City to study engineering. During this time, he tells of seeing the Statue of Liberty and thinking that the ideals of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is what his war was to be about. Pretty profound for a young 20-year-old who was just learning that he was destined for infantry combat duty. In typical fashion, he bounced around to other training locations as diverse as Fort Polk, Louisiana, currently the home of the 3rd Brigade, 10th Mountain Division, so another incidental connection to us here today, Camp Breckinridge, Kentucky, where he was still on D-Day, still in training, and wondering if he would see combat at all. In July, he finally made it into officer candidate school at Fort Benning, Georgia. He would graduate and ship to combat in December of 1944. Although he likely didn't know it, his future division had a similar winding path to their meeting. The ideas of military skiing were pushed as early as 1939, with experimental ski patrols being conducted right here in New York, at both Lake Placid and Old Forge in the early 1940s, even before Pearl Harbor. The first formal mountain troops, however, were not established until November 1941 at Fort Lewis, Washington. This effort would grow through the years, resulting in the creation of the 10th Mountain Division, which was formally established in July of 1943 at Camp Hale, Colorado. Much like Senator Dole, the 10th Mountain spent 1943 and 44 in training. They had much to learn about the new concept of military mountaineering and surviving the deep cold and high altitude in which they were designed to operate. Like Dole, they trained hard in a variety of places as diverse as both Colorado and Texas. Before shipping out of the exact same port in Virginia to the battlefields of Europe in December of 1944. Soon, the soldier and the division would share the same path, as young Bob Dole's story would become entwined with that of the 10th Mountain Division. The 10th Mountain Division would be one of the last divisions to deploy to combat, arriving in Italy in December of 44, where they were quickly placed into combat in the rugged Apennine Mountains of central Italy. By mid-February, they would conduct their first major attack, a nighttime mountain assault on both Riva and Monte Belvedere ridgelines. Like all combat actions, the victory did not come cheap, with the 10th Mountain Division sustaining almost 1,000 casualties in these first 20 days of combat. One of those casualties was a young platoon leader. So in February, Lieutenant Bob Dole was notified he would be assigned to the 10th Mountain Division as a replacement officer. Bob Dole was assigned to the 2nd Platoon, I Company, 85th Mountain Infantry Regiment of the 10th Mountain Division in late February. He was soon getting to know his men and leading them in night combat patrols. In fact, he would earn his first Purple Heart for a leg wound received on one of these night patrols. Duty wasn't all bad. He even got to visit Rome on leave and managed to see his old Kansas University football team coach and trainer while on leave. But like the division, the rest wasn't long, and soon he would return to the front at the village of Castel d'Aiano for the upcoming Allied spring offensive. The role of the 85th Mountain Infantry Regiment would be to clear and seize the heights of Hill 913, just outside of Castel d'Aiano. It is here, at the age of 21, that young Bob Dole's life was forever altered. During the assault, he saw his radio man fall, and he raced to pull him to cover, when he himself was struck in the right shoulder. In accordance with the then division commander's orders and the World War II division's informal motto, his soldiers pulled him to safety, provided immediate first aid before continuing their advance. Semper avante, or always forward. He would lie bleeding in that field for 6 hours before he could be safely evacuated once the hill was seized. Two medics had been dispatched, but had also been wounded. But one of his own soldiers, himself wounded, eventually directed aid to him. That was the end of combat for Bob Dole. The 10th Mountain Division would suffer 1,336 casualties during these 3 days of action in April of 1945. In fact, within a mile of where Bob Dole was wounded, another member of the 85th Mountain Infantry, PFC John D. McGrath, would earn the division's only Medal of Honor during World War II on the same day. The cost was high and would continue to be paid until the end of the war 3 weeks later. While the 10th Mountain Division would continue to battling to defeat the Germans, Bob Dole would begin his long road to recovery. It would consist of 3 years of painful surgeries, therapy, and recovery lasting well into 1948. Enough time, in fact, for the Army to disband the 10th Mountain Division following World War II and then reestablish it in his home state of Kansas in 1948. In another similarity between their stories, the division would also remake itself in Kansas, turning from a combat division of World War II fame to a basic training division tasked with training new soldiers for future service. The division would not be graced with the success of their former soldier, as in 1958, a mere 3 years before Bob Dole would enter into Congress for the first time, the division would be disbanded again. But it would return, and it would have a former lieutenant to assist. But before we explore the modern story, let's explore the military service shapes soldiers' lives. Senator Dole's wartime experience shows us many elements of what makes military service so transformative to many. First, the military is one of the few true melting pots left within our nation. Where else can a young Kansas farm boy interested in studying medicine be directed to study engineering in New York City? This experience happens today here in the North Country. where soldiers from across the nation and the world are introduced to the greatness that is upstate New York. Some see snow for the first time, while others make friends from areas far different than their own. The experience is not limited to combat, but the bonds are often enhanced by it. Our soldiers are of and from the greater United States. They are rural, they are urban. They speak many languages and worship many religions. They are Democratic and they are Republican, but they are from America and they are America. So back to the intersection of Bob Dole and the 10th Mountain Division. There are three elements to the modern connection. First is the rebirth of the division itself, which we are still researching, but the breadcrumbs are there. In the early 1980s, the Army began to plan for new light infantry divisions. And when the Army sought money to fund this new initiative, the head of the Senate Finance Committee was none other than former Lieutenant Bob Dole of the 10th Mountain Division. I have to believe, but have yet to locate direct evidence, that the Army planners were astute enough to select the 10th Mountain Division as the division's name as a way of gaining financial support. I'll report back if I ever find the documents. At least they didn't fail to grasp his prominence, as by 1985, Senator Dole was a Senate Majority Leader. As important as this is to our nation, two more critical aspects impacted the 10th Mountain Division more directly. The Army planners had reverted to calling it the 10th Infantry Division, critically dropping the mountain as well as the associated mountain tab from the division's insignia. Well, Bob Dole wasn't the only influential veteran at this time. The World War II veterans quickly learned of this and mobilized. One of their first letters highlighting the need to retain the unit's mountain heritage was to their brother-in-arms, Bob Dole. On this, we are on strong historical footing, as in our archives, we have the letter he received from the 10th Mountain Division Association, but more critically, a copy of the letter he sent to Secretary of the Army, John Marsh. In his letter to the Secretary Marsh, Senator Dole highlighted that the 101st was wearing their airborne tab to honor their World War II lineage. So it should be feasible for the 10th to do the same. And this brings us to our third part of the story. Because on an appropriately snowy 13th of February, 1985, none other than Senator Dole was on hand to help reactivate the new 10th Mountain Division right here in the North Country. In the VIP programs of that day was proudly glued the 10th Mountain Division patch and its now synonymous mountain tab. So the life of service that Bob Dole has led mirrored and intersected that of our neighboring Army unit in many interesting ways. To show you both his example and his example and works helped create, I want to share a story of one of our modern soldiers. So let's go back to 2007, to the rugged hills and villages of Afghanistan, a place the modern 10th Mountain Division knows well, having been the first division to deploy to Afghanistan in response to the 9/11 attacks, and a place where some of your friends and neighbors have been returning just this week after yet another deployment there. 62 years to the month that Senator Dole was wounded, Sergeant Jose Rivas was assigned as a platoon medic to 2nd Platoon, C Company, 1st Battalion, 32nd Infantry Regiment of the 10th Mountain Division. On the morning of the 22nd of April, his unit was conducting a patrol in an Afghan village when the platoon became engaged from 15 to 20 different positions using numerous automatic rifles and rocket-propelled grenades over a period of almost 17 hours. After receiving small arms fire for a period, the unit was able to secure the village of the enemy, but an enemy sniper began to engage back into the village, hitting one Afghan National Army soldier. Unhesitatingly, Sergeant Rivas, the platoon medic, immediately moved the casualty into a home in the village and began working on him while under continued enemy fire. In fact, the enemy sniper continued to fire directly into the room that Sergeant Rivas had chosen to treat the injured soldier. Yet he continued to treat the casualty, regardless of the fact that sniper rounds were ricocheting around the room. Once he stabilized the casualty, he organized an Afghan Army litter team to carry the casualty over 3 football fields of rocky, uneven terrain to reach a helicopter landing zone. As they moved towards the landing zone, Sergeant Rivas's evacuation team became engaged by 4 additional enemy positions, pinning them down for over an hour and a half. With total disregard for his own safety, Sergeant Rivas continued to treat the casualty amidst the heavy enemy fire. And as the wounded soldier's blood pressure began to drop, Sergeant Rivas quickly administered two more IV bags to stabilize the casualty, the entire time using his own body to shield the casualty from heavy enemy contact. At this time, one of his own soldiers was wounded. Again, Sergeant Rivas braved 120 feet of open, bullet-swept field to move to the soldier and treat him. Like Senator Dole, Sergeant Rivas was new to his unit, as this was his first mission and having only been assigned to the unit for a week. For his actions, Sergeant Rivas was awarded the Silver Star Medal. Sergeant Rivas served his unit with intense bravery, limited not by national origin, color of uniform, but united in common cause. Sergeant Rivas is the legacy that Senator Dole helped build through the rebirth of the modern 10th Mountain Division. Soldiers as unknown as Sergeant Rivas, or leaders as notable as Senator Dole, truly demonstrate the motto, duty, honor, and country. In summary, I'd like to share something a president who was both a veteran and paid the ultimate sacrifice for this nation once said. As we express our gratitude, we must never forget the highest appreciation is not to utter words, but to live by them. President John F. Kennedy. In that light, I hope all those who serve, be they service members, first responders, healthcare providers, teachers, or the numerous volunteers that serve their communities in ways great and small, known and unknown, understand the importance of what they do. Thank you all for your service, as it is through community and shared service that America was founded and continues to remain great. Thanks again for inviting me, and enjoy your Bob Dole Day celebrations and our very own 10th Mountain Division Band. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Jim Brasser, and I'm with Thousand Island Park Foundation. And it was with great pleasure that we were able to offer this celebration today here in the park for Bob Dole. And I'd like to thank our dignitaries who spent their Saturday afternoon with us today instead of out enjoying it someplace else. Very much appreciate your attendance and being here. And in particular, I'd like to thank Joe Scanlon for his keynote address and such a nice description of the history of the 10th Mountain Division and Senator Bob Dole. Thank you, Joe. I'd also like to thank Mike Stedham. About 6 months ago, Mike was sitting in his home and he came up with this idea, and literally he put this together almost entirely on his own. Letters written, organizing all the activities of today. Mike, a yeoman's job, and thank you very much. And lastly, on behalf of the foundation, I would like to thank all of those in the park that support the efforts that we try to do here. Our goal is to do good things for Thousand Island Park. And those things can be done with effort of board members and assistants, but it also can only be done by donations that we receive from people. And those donations only come when we do good things for the park. So we're sort of working together. It's a real pleasure to be up here in this gazebo and to look around and not see any paint peeling or crack boards. And so I think this was a great effort that was done last year. This year, we're renovating the playground. And I think by the success of all the children that have been playing at the playground, it's been very good. And I'd ask for your continued support. And again, as I said, the foundation's about doing service. Part of that envelops what we talked about today, what Mike was talking about. And I'd like to thank everybody for being here. Now, the rest of the afternoon, we're gonna have the Fort Drum Band, which will be excellent, followed by a pig roast. And so I want you all to enjoy the day, and we'll have more activities throughout the summer for you. Thank you for being here.
You've been listening to coverage on Radio St. Pete today from Thousand Island Park, New York, on Wellesley Island in upstate New York, on the Canadian border, Senator Bob Dole Day. 10th Mountain Division, located at Fort Drum, just a few miles down Interstate 81 from this location. So now from Thousand Island Park, New York, this is Joe Bordeaux. Thanks for listening, and we return you to our studios.